to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast. You are about to listen to my mom. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you like it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.
Hey, friend, and welcome to the Stay at Home Mom, Yeah Right podcast. I'm Sarah Smith, your host, and I'm so excited to be joined by Dr. Maria Duraso. She is an experienced pediatrician and parenting coach that was born and raised in Zambia before she immigrated to the United States, where she became a physician. She is very passionate about supporting and enhancing parenting skills. She says that the best gifts a parent can give their child is to be the best version of themselves. Welcome to my podcast, Dr. Maria. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for taking your time out of your very busy schedule to speak to me. I appreciate it. What has living through this pandemic been like for you and your family?
You know, it has been really recentering. I've heard in the business world, you know, career world, people talking about it as the great resignation. You know, people are leaving their jobs and so on. I have kind of coined it more as the great awakening. Awakening to the idea that life as we have lived it maybe didn't need to be that way and has opened our eyes to so many different ways of doing life, of doing business, of doing parenting, of doing school, so many things. So living through the pandemic, I think after the initial shock of, oh my gosh, what in the world is happening? It was really nice to slow down. So a lot of what my family did, we slowed down, we took walks, we listened and counted how many different birds were outside. We found just a different way to live life and to slow down and to appreciate what we did have.
I absolutely love that because I feel like as parents, like there's so much going on all the time. We're going, and then it's nighttime and then we just start our day over. But yes, like not being able to really go anywhere or be with anyone else except for our immediate family, you take the time and you just slow it down and just, yeah, listen to the birds outside. Like, that's so nice and peaceful. I love that. Did you learn anything about yourself during the lockdown or during the pandemic?
I learned that I did not need to go to Target as much as I thought I did. I did not.
I love that. That's so fun.
My husband was very happy I learned that about myself.
That's great.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I downloaded the app and would get like the curbside, have them bring it to my car so I wouldn't go in and spend the amount of money that I usually did at Target. And that's helpful. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that really was telling of so many things, you know, how often I would go shopping and think that I would need this. But then I started getting really creative. Like, wait, what do I have in my pantry? Let's make this for dinner, you know? Or how can I repurpose this? So really brought out a bit of my creative side too.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. I feel like for so many parents, they have become overwhelmed and are just getting by on this parenting journey. What is your advice to parents who feel like they are just not doing the best by their children?
So, you know, of course, with my life coaching, one of the things that we obviously do a lot of is thought work. So really becoming aware of what's going in your mind that's making you feel that way. I believe that feelings are messengers. They are there to tell us that there's something in our lives that is out of alignment with who we are, with what our values are. So then the first question I would ask, you know, feeling that I'm overwhelmed and I'm not doing enough, I'm not making the cut. Well, what is the cut, you know? And look at that and say, this ideal that I'm holding myself up to, that I'm not measuring up to, where did it come from? What does it entail? What does making the cut look like? And then once you examine that and just kind of sit in awareness of it, really start picking out what are the things in this list that I've put up for myself. Where did it come from? You know, Pinterest and whatever else. And, you know, everybody has this joking hashtag Pinterest fail and so on. But truly, you know, what is on my list of what I need to be? So as I'm feeling that I'm not there, why are those things on my list? Are they truly things that I even want to have on my list?
Right.
And I think that's the first place to start.
Scrolling Instagram, right? It's just like, it's like the comparing game. Like, oh my gosh, but they're going this way, and they're doing this, and oh, their kid got all A's today. You know, like,
yeah. So we have a list of things that we think that are important to us in the way, because we live towards that, right? But then just really taking the time, all the effort that I'm putting in, is it really actually the things that I want? You know, I'll give you an example. One of the things is your kids are in all kinds of activities, right? So I'm a physician and I have physician friends and, you know, our kids have to go to MIT and that kind of stuff, right? So how do I get my kids into MIT? I'm going to sign them up for this and I'm going to sign them up for that. I'm going to do all of these things, right? Well, we were doing piano, we were doing this, all kinds of stuff. And I speak another language, you know, as you heard in the introduction, I'm from Zambia. So somebody was asking my kids, hey, do you know some words in your mom's language? And the thing that they immediately said was hambana. And they said it with an edge. And this means in my language, hurry up. This is the word my kids heard me use a lot. And their expressions too were telling, they were like, hambana, you know, as they said it. And I realized I was saying that so much. Hurry, we got to go. Hurry, let's go, guys. Hurry, grab your stuff. Hurry, 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 hurry. And it was, you know, they didn't actually love going to all of those things. And it would be like, come on, let's go. I don't want to, mommy. Let's just go. We've got to do it. When I heard that, I took a step back, you know, like afterwards, bedtime, they were all asleep. And I sat and thought about it, you know. What my kids are hearing me say is hurry up. My expression as I say it is hurry up. This is what we're doing all the time. So then I looked at it and I said, okay, why am I doing all of these things? Well, a good mom will have to set her kids up to do well. So we got to get all these things done. So then I sat back and said, okay, a good mom is one that gets their kids in all these activities. Well, when I was growing up, we didn't.
Right. No.
We didn't. And so now if I look back at this and I say, okay, a good mom is one who does that stuff. So then it means that my mom was not a good mom. Mm. And I think my mom was an amazing mom.
Right.
Right. So then just that awareness of that thought, I had this thought that a good mom should do this, you know, but then when I compared it to what I actually want to do, I like for us to eat healthy meals, but we weren't, because I was chasing this, a good mom should get in all these activities. And guess what? We were too busy. We were actually doing a lot more drive-throughs than I normally like to do and so on. So this idea of what I thought a good mom should do was actually getting in the way of the things that I truly valued in my momming.
Interesting.
You know, so really being aware of what are those a good mom should things that you have, and are they really in alignment with the things that you really do believe should be part of your momming?
That's so good. That is so good. Because I feel like so many, we just feel like, okay, we got to be involved. We got to keep them busy, keep them busy, keep them busy. But why does keep them busy mean being in these expensive activities when keeping them busy could also be, oh, let's take a walk in the park earlier on the, you know, on the trails, and they're experiencing nature, and everyone's mental health is better that way. Like, why does it have to be, we're going. But I think that's just our culture that we're in. But if we could step back, that would be so nice. That's great.
It really would. It really would. And then as you're saying, you know, mental health, well, we all know mental health is huge right now. Right. And what we are actually, you know, as parents, what we want is we want to set our kids up to be the best, do the best, live the best, right? And so is it maybe some taking some time and thinking like, what does that actually mean? So the things that we're trying to do to set them up in the way that we think is best, we can actually learn some of those lessons of self-regulation, you know, good emotional health, problem solving, frustration tolerance, adaptability, you know, all of those things. Those are the important things to learn, because a kid who is well regulated and knows how to tune into their emotional mental health, that carries them through college, high school, careers, all of that stuff, versus we've got them in this multiple activity that they're now learning to be rushed and anxious. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking the things that we want them to learn.
When parents are like tired and overwhelmed, like we get triggered easily because we're rushing to all these activities and we're so busy and working and trying to keep a clean house. How do you help identify trigger points and disconnect the wiring to those trigger buttons?
Okay. So one, I would say list out like your top three pain points, like those places in the day that are just always rough for you. So is it rushing to get into the car? Is it bedtime? You know, those epic meltdowns. Where are they? Identify those three kind of things. It's difficult, you know, sometimes it's difficult to think of what you're actually thinking, those thoughts that you have in those moments. But if you key into your feelings, remember how I said earlier that our feelings are our messengers. So sit in those feelings. Oh, I was really frustrated, you know, with the kids today when they were doing this and they kept running around and it's going to make me late. Key into those, because eventually you get into a thought that in that moment, what is that doing? So, you know, one example that I hear a lot of is, you know, the teenager that won't clean their room or whatever, you know, they're disrespecting me. They're being disrespectful or they're being ungrateful. Okay, let's think about that. Let's just sit in that and be curious. If somebody else was sitting here in this moment, would they feel disrespected? If we had 100 people, would we all agree that what this kid did was disrespectful? You have to bring it back to what's fact versus what is our brain offering us about this. So then I would imagine that we couldn't get 100 people to say, oh, the way that kid walked off, because, you know, they walk off and they do this. The way that kid was that truly disrespectful? And then if I'm feeling disrespectful, why is my brain offering me this? You know, why is my brain offering me that what this person did, their body movement, the word that they said, why is it offering me disrespect? Is this something that I need for my kid? Why do I need respect so much for my kid? Do I have my own respect? So let's just say that this kid is being this way. I still know that I'm amazing. I still know that I'm doing the good. So why is it though that triggered something for me, and really keying into that? So that when that action happens, you say, oh, this is the part that my brain is offering me this. Huh. Well, I know that this is not really what's happening. So then I can sink into some other emotion that serves me better.
That's great. Yeah, that's really good. But what if it's like, that's the one thing you want your kid to do is keep their room clean, and they just don't?
So, you know, that totally is okay. And what I am saying is not so much that you can't need things from your kids or want things from them or expect certain things from them. It's where you're coming from when you're wanting them to do this. So say you have that teenager again and you need their room to be clean, right? So then your mind starts going, oh my gosh, they can never clean that room. What are they going to be like? They'll never be able to function in college. You can't even keep all of this. And so then what your mind is doing in that moment is it's catastrophizing, right? You're looking at the worst case scenario 10 years down the line. My kid cannot keep their room clean, so they're never going to be able to get a job. They'll never even be able to get an apartment. They're going to be homeless. So now, because of that thought, How are you feeling now? Like right now in the moment?
Right.
Oh my gosh, you're stressed out. Because now I have to keep my kid from becoming homeless. This is the connection you've made, right? We're looking at a dirty room. I've got to keep my kid from becoming homeless. So what happens in that moment? You're really pressured. You're really stressed. The way you talk to them. I've told you 1,000 times, why can't you keep this room clean? It just comes out wrong. And so then you start butting heads and it's the same cycle all over and over again. Now, if you were able to separate that and say, okay, I want a clean room. I'm going to talk ahead of time, establish what the expectation is, be real clear about it. In the moment when I'm not upset, we're just here having a nice conversation. Hey, bud, it's really important to keep the room clean. Sometimes if the room isn't that clean, we can get bugs and so on. And I don't want to have to pay for an exterminator or whatever. So this is what I would like for that room to be clean. And I'll check it on Fridays, and let's just say Fridays, this is whatever the consequence is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Oh, well, I don't like that. Okay, yeah. I can totally understand it not being fun, but this is the requirement because we want to keep our house clean so that we don't get bugs and we don't have to need an exterminator. Calm, clear, set consequences. They're not in a pressured position. Yeah, mom, come Friday. Because now we had a nice, clear conversation. You verbalized understanding of that conversation. Hey, bud, remember how we had talked about keeping the room clean? So your room is not clean. I'm going to hold your allowance for the cleaner because now I'm going to have to pay a cleaning lady, or it was your phone that's going to go away because that's what stood in the way of you being, you spent more of your time there than what you were supposed to do. You're coming at this nice and calm. We're not going to fight. We're not, because, now I'm not talking about you're homeless. Now I'm just sticking to my consequences. I've made the request. It has been clear. It has been formed beforehand. And the kid verbalized understanding of that. So now when you hold your consequence, you hold it from a place of calm. Mom, you always take, well, honey, this is what we had talked about. So this is the consequence. Clear. Calm. We're not fighting. And now they can't come at you saying, you always say things and you never let me know what. No. We talked about this. We made that verbal contract. So even if they want to talk to you as the bad guy or whatever, they can't because they had something they had agreed upon or heard and verbalized understanding. So now it's not fighting about you being the bad guy. Now this is, the ball was in your court. I hope you make better choices next time. Do you see how there's a difference?
Absolutely. Oh, that's so good. I have 2 teens and 1 tween. She's 10. Yeah. 15, 14, 10. What are your 4 life skills for teens that support a successful transition into adulthood?
So the 4, and I had kind of mentioned them earlier, is frustration tolerance, flexibility, adaptability, and problem solving. So those are the things that you need. So frustration tolerance, knowing what to do when things don't go exactly the way that you want it. You don't throw up your hands and say, oh, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. Learning how to say, gosh, that didn't work out the way I want to. How can I do things differently? Problem solving, figuring out what to do. And this one is, I really, really like this one. And we have so many opportunities to be able to do this. One of my favorite questions, and for your ages too, when they're like, oh, mom, how come you said this? I don't want to do, well, if you were the grown-up, how would you do that differently?
Love that.
Now we're not fighting about what I did. You get to be in charge. You tell me. And so then when they tell you that stuff, you should let me go out and stay out or whatever. If you were the adult, so then you're staying home. So these are the things that I have to think about. I need to make sure that you're safe. I need to make sure that you can, whatever it is. And so then you keep kind of nudging and throwing that in their corner. And so they have to start thinking about that. Like, oh, this is what she's thinking about. Oh, that's why she said this. And they have to problem solve for that. And when you give them that, they start seeing some of the logistics of what you're having to think about. And the next time they go to do something, they're like, okay, these are the questions that mom had last time. So this is what I'm going to tell her. And this is how am I going to explain it to her. And this is how I'll tell her I've planned that I'll be back on time or whatever it is, you know? So now the way they come to you is totally different.
Yeah.
You know, so problem solving is a beautiful one. Adaptability, just learning how to be able to shift as life shifts, because this is how life is. And I think that was one of the things that was really tough for kids during COVID. Things were shifting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shifting all the time without them being able to kind of keep up with those changes. So adaptability is another one, because that's something, the only permanent thing is change. I love that quote.
Me too.
So we've got to have the skills to be able to go along with whatever change happens. And then flexibility, you can't have it your way all the time. You know, and so learning that kind of back and forth, give and take skills is really important. So those are the four skills that I would say kind of translate. You can start teaching them young, but translate through those teenage years as you're going into adulthood.
Okay. You'd like to say that parents' best gift they can give their child is to be the best version of themselves. What does that look like?
Oh, my goodness. So we could be here for hours. I'll try to shorten this. When you are comfortable in your own skin, you need nothing from your children to kind of feed into your self-concept. If you have your own self-concept, whether your kids do well on a test or not, whether your kids get into that Ivy League school or not, when that other parent is saying, you know, my kid did this, it does nothing to you because you already have that concept of yourself, of who I am, and it's not my kids' jobs to make me feel or be a certain way. So there's one. Two, you were talking about trigger buttons earlier. When I'm my best version, I've healed all my stuff from when I was a kid. You know, I don't, you know, get so triggered by things. You know, I don't get angry that easily. Mm-hmm. I'm able to sit more into compassion. I understand self-love and self-value. So then I can see my kid struggling in that way, and I can put my ego aside and say, this is not about me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kid. So then when you are the best version of yourself, you are no longer solving for what's going on in you. Your parent is not about solving what's going on in you. It's about parenting the kid for what the kid needs.
So good. How can parents go from surviving each day to thriving?
So, you know, I think it really boils down again to what you just asked me previously, becoming the best version of yourself, really getting into awareness of your thoughts. It impacts so many things. It impacts that busy day-to-day long to-do list. Now you're able to sort it out and say, hey, why are these things on my to-do list? I don't even actually need them on my to-do list. And you've created space. Space in your life. You have more time now, either for yourself to just do some kind of self-development or self-care, or you have more time to do things with the kids. So that, you know, once you've kind of clued into that, you're able to figure out what's on my to-do list and clear that up. That's one of the things. You start learning what is really important to teach your kids. So there's so many lessons that we're wanting to teach, and we're not able to teach it because of the way that we're showing up, and we kind of get lost. So I get angry easily. I get frustrated easily, whatever it is. Then in that moment, I even forget what it is that I'm trying to teach my kids,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can really clarify what are the lessons that I want for my kids to learn in my experience with my parenting, and then you're able to do that. And so you're no longer stuck in those negative cycles where you're just fighting all the time, you're stonewalling each other all the time, or you're saying, my gosh, my kids are driving me nuts. Is this really all that there is to parenting? You know, you're able to just really engage at a different level. you are aware of your thoughts. And so there's that kind of balance. I've got to do and get everything right. Then you're able to sit in this place of presence. You know, I'm 100% present in whatever space that I'm in.
So good. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. So all of those things, there's all these different pieces that actually, once you learn this, and this is such a beautiful thing, we get now into also generational parenting. So you're creating this legacy, because how you parent your kids is probably how your kids are going to parent their kids. And so then you start teaching them all of these skills, so you see it to where it will flow through to your grandchildren. For now, all of those generational patterns and cycles, and, you know, Thanksgiving, you see it all come out. You see it all come out, right? And so then you're able to create these patterns that are actually really intentional and what you want for your kids and what you would envision your kids, you know, parenting their kids.
In trying to be like the best version of ourselves as moms, we tend to have mom guilt. How can moms let go of their guilt to focus on themselves?
Oh my goodness. I think when we take a minute and just really sit and stop comparing ourselves to all of the messaging that's out there and really see the things that we do actually do. So when you look at, I'm trying to schedule my kids for all of these 1,000 activities, whatever it is. Oh my gosh, I'm a mom that cares deeply about my kids' success. So you reframe it, you know. When you see yourself getting really upset about stuff, you know, the way the kids did this or the way kids that, you reframe it again. This is me just loving my kids deeply, right? There's so many things that we don't see that we're actually bringing value to our families and to our kids. And just spending the time to really sit and sink into the value that you bring. And this again goes back to the messaging you receive, because for instance, this one time I planned, you know, this amazing day with the kid. I thought it was amazing. I took them to this park. I did this, you know, amusement, and we went to the store, all of these things. And then at the end of the day, at some point, a ladybug landed on one of my kids' hands. And they were amazed by it. They went and passed it back and forth to each other. Oh my gosh. And so we just kind of sat and looked at the ladybug. When we were doing our prayers at night, they said, "Thank you, Jesus, for an amazing day. The best part was the ladybug."
Oh,
out of everything that
everything everywhere. Spent all this money.
Everything. The ladybug that we all sat and watched and passed back and forth. So sometimes as moms, we think we have to make a big production. You know? And it's those simple things, those small things that really show that really kids are interested in, and that connection that we bring, and we bring so much value in that space without even knowing.
I always like the quote, like, to moms, you are enough. Like, you are enough. Like, all the child wants is you. Your undivided attention most of the time.
Yeah.
What are ways moms can reconnect with themselves aside from being a mother?
So this is one that is a little bit hard, but you know, once, and you don't even realize how much you're doing it. When you meet up with your friends, intentionally talk about other things other than your kids. How many times have you gone to sit at dinner or whatever with your friends, and within 5 minutes, somebody's talking about their kid, and then somebody else jumps in with another kid's story? And it's actually a lot harder to do. Spend 10 minutes. Start out with 10 minutes. Spend 10 minutes of nobody's talking about their kids.
Guilty as charged. Last night I was out with my friends, and that's all we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. I had this one friend, and, you know, I love her dearly. and I've shared this before, you know, on my other social media and so on, she would ask me about my kids, but then after like 5-10 minutes of conversation, then she transitioned to something else. She's like, oh, Maria, tell me about work and what was happening there. You were telling me about this book that you were reading, and you were telling, you know, she just engaged me in all my other Maria parts. And at that time, I didn't see the gift of what she was doing. She, in fact, after we've talked about this now, doesn't even remember doing that. But at first, I was kind of really upset at how she seemed to gloss over all the stories that I had to share about my kids. You know, I wanted to tell about my kids. But then through the years, we've always connected that way. And it has kept me remembering the things that I do love about who I am. And so now, when, you know, I'm doing all kinds of things and my kids see me doing all kinds of things and they see me enjoying myself, they start, their minds are open to so many other things, how they can enjoy themselves, how they can learn, how they can expand their minds, you know. And sometimes we think as moms that taking time from ourselves is selfish and it's a disservice to our kids, but it really is a gift. When your kids see you fulfilled, when your kids see you whole, when your kids see that, it does two things. It does bring them joy because you're engaged with them at a different level, you know. And then two, it shows them as they grow how to take care of themselves too. So it really is a powerful thing to connect with who you are, because it just rounds you out into this whole person, which who doesn't want your kid to grow up to this, be this whole person, right?
Okay. Now, what do you do for self-care?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I love to read. I love to read. I sit on the couch with a good book and some hot tea. That is my one of my favorite things to do.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, I have so many books that I'm reading. One is Mad Honey, Jodi Picoult. Nanny? I've just kind of started that out.
Mad Honey.
I know. Then I just finished reading Viola Davis. Oh my goodness.
So good. So good.
So good. I have so many notes from that book. And then I'm about to start reading 212. It's basically the concept water starts boiling at that temperature. And so what happens between, you know, 211 degrees to 212 degrees. Wow. And this is part of like leadership and business and entrepreneurship, you know, of what happens in that 1 degree that shifts you over. That's so awesome. I'm excited to jump into that one.
Have you read Michelle Obama's new book?
I haven't. I picked them both up at the same time, Viola Davis and then Michelle Obama's book. And so then I started with that. I flipped through the first page and I was like, oh, I couldn't put it down. So I had to keep reading that one. But it's there.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Maria, for taking your time out this morning to speak to me. I really appreciate all the gems that you shared with my audience. I appreciate
it. It is my pleasure. My pleasure. I mean, I could talk about this for hours, and I'm just so invested in people having families, kids, life that they love. You know, we only have this one time around, and just really loving life and thriving. It can be done. The narrative we see on TV of exhausted parents, unhappy with their kids and talking bad about their kids or trying to escape them all the time, it doesn't have to be that way.
Where can people find you?
So I'm on Facebook. Burnt Out Parent MD is also on Instagram. I probably can send you, I don't know if you put it up on your podcast or not, but Instagram is where I am. And then I've started TikTok. My 12-year-old niece is my social media director.
That's great.
So I'm starting on that. But those are the, and then, you know, I have a Kajabi site where I do have a parenting course on there, and then LinkedIn. So those are all, if you look me up by my name, Maria DeRusso, you'll find me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks again. It's my pleasure.
You- You have just listened to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast with my mom. I hope you enjoy listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you liked it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.